New England Patriots fans, the grades are in for week two, and here's a little hint. Their GPA is better than 0.0. Stay tuned. You're about to be locked in to the Locked On Patriots podcast.
You are Locked On Patriots, your daily New England Patriots podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello to all of you Foxborough faithful, and thank you all once again for making Locked On Patriots a daily part of your New England Patriots coverage and also your first listen every day. Remember, Locked On Patriots is free and available on all platforms, including YouTube, so please smash that subscribe button, download, subscribe, follow Locked On Patriots wherever you get your audio podcasts. I am your host, Mike DeBate. I cover your New England Patriots for Patriots Country of Sports Illustrated. Let me know what's on your mind on Twitter by following me at MDABATENFL. And while you're out there showing some love to the Twitterverse, please be sure to follow the Locked On Patriots account as well at LO_Patriots. And of course, Pats fans, today's episode of Locked On Patriots is presented by Prize Picks. Prize Picks is a daily fantasy made easy. Pick 2 to 5 players, and if they score more or less than their Prize Picks projection, you can win up to 10 times your money on your entry. First-time users can receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100 with the promo code Locked On. That's prizepicks.com, promo code Locked On. Pats fans, as your New England Patriots continue to savor their 17-14 victory over the Pittsburgh Steelers on Sunday, some have taken it upon themselves to act as judge, jury, executioner as well when evaluating their performance. And folks, I'm not talking about those that cover the team on a daily basis, those that are actually at Gillette giving insightful feedback. You know who I'm talking about, the unsilent majority out there that's armed with nothing but some sarcasm and an agenda. But do yourself a favor. Don't listen to the talking heads, because here on Locked On Patriots, we welcome back our resident voice of reason. But today, he has a new title, folks, because he's given out the grades for the New England Patriots in week two. He is the preceptor of practicality. PatsFans.com's own Steve Balestrieri. Welcome back to the Pod Paisan.
Well, thanks for having me as always, Mike. And I've never been called that. So, yeah, that's a new one for me.
Absolutely. Well, as you caught it, you know, today, and I saw you grinning at that, and a special hello for everyone that caught my Dean Wormer reference to open the pod today. 0.0. I think the New England Patriots deserve higher than that, but some people will tell you otherwise, but we all know where that's coming from. Steve, you are always the resident voice of reason here on Locked On Patriots, and you also put out, I think, the best grade report in Patriots Nation, so let's dive right into it, my friend. We're going to start with the defensive side of the ball. Patriots holding this Pittsburgh team to 14 total points. I guess, you know, you make the argument that it's a complete team effort when you hold teams to points or special teams, things of that nature. I know our old good friend Gunnar Olszewski kind of helped them out a little bit in some regard to the Patriots being able to put points on the board, or at least prevent Pittsburgh from putting more points on. But at the same time, I was impressed by the defensive effort on Sunday from the New England Patriots. I thought the front seven did a very good job, once again, second week in a row, of handling the running game. I know Najee Harris is a little bit banged up, but he's still an explosive running back. He was taken off the injury report, so I'm considering him at pretty well full strength, and the Patriots held him in check. I think they did a pretty good job of that. The linebackers showing their speed, going sideline to sideline. And I thought the secondary played well, considering, you know, you're looking at package. Lose Kyle Duggar for a little bit of period of time. Jabril Peppers comes in. Really, I think shows some physicality. But you are, again, the maestro today, my friend. So when you look at the Patriots on the defensive side of the ball, how did they grade out in this one?
They graded out, according to my grades, very, very well. You know, I looked at the defensive line. this, I mean, this is the Steelers' bread and butter when they like to run the football. And the Patriots held them to 91 yards rushing, but 18 of those came on an end-around to the same Gunnar Olszewski that graced the field for the Patriots. So if you take that away, that one end-around, you know, they netted 73 yards rushing and only 3.5 yards per attempt. I thought that was really solid. Lawrence Guy was good. I thought Christian Barmore, who chipped in with a sack, Dietrich Wise, I know that's your, you know, that he's kind of your binky there, as Claire would say. You know, he's been off to a really good start this year. He's been very disruptive. He's always been pretty good a pass rusher, but he's much better against the run this year, you know, and he's just penetrating up there. I thought he was really, really good. I thought Lawrence Guy was solid as well.
Yeah, I agree with you. It's funny that you mentioned Dietrich Wise Jr. Every time he makes a big play or is very heavily praised for his efforts on the field, I always get a couple of DMs from some of our old colleagues, people that I used to work with in the early days. Folks, just in case I haven't told the story here on Locked On Patriots, Dietrich was the first player that I interviewed when I first got onto the Patriots beat a few years ago. And he was absolutely gracious, just a wonderful guy to be around. And really, I was so happy to see him get the Ron Burton Award this year. To me, that really shows all of the work that he does in the community. Dietrich is really one of those guys that you can get behind and really feel confident in a son or daughter that wants to get into sports and say, this is how you do it, not only with 100%, 110% effort on the field, but also giving back in your community as well. So thank you for mentioning that, because it always gives me an opportunity to gratuitously drop that little bit on Dietrich Wise. But I agree with you. I thought he was great in this game. And I thought he has been the past couple of games, especially with the leadership that he's showing on that front seven, being able to seal the edge. This has allowed guys like Christian Barmore and Devon Godchow, and of course, Carl Davis. So after Godchow went out with the back injury, Carl Davis comes in, plays that nose tackle. It's good to have him on the line, still on the lineup, and I'm glad that the Patriots chose to keep him in New England, something that's big and something that I actually didn't predict when we were doing 53-man roster predictions, but thank God Bill doesn't listen to me. He listens to his own gut, and that really worked out well. I also, looked at the Patriots linebackers, the secondary and whatnot, and I agree with you. I really think it was a solid effort on all ends. Steve, the big criticism, and you briefly did touch on this, but the criticism with the New England Patriots that they're receiving right now is that, yes, this defense did put out a good effort, but they did so against a Mitch Trubisky-led team. I don't necessarily buy into that. You always play to your competition, and for everyone that wants to, you know, tar and feather Trubisky for his performance on Sunday, he's an NFL-level quarterback, and he is capable of doing things with the ball in his hands. He's capable of extending drives. I thought the Patriots really did a great job, and I think they would have been effective no matter who they were facing. Do you put any stock into the Trubisky factor in maybe them receiving some of the criticism or praise that they've received?
You know, granted, he's not, you know, Patrick Mahomes or Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady. We get that. But at the same time, you face the guy that's on the field, against you. And, you know, when I look at the big picture of things, he ended up with only 152 yards net passing. Whenever you hold an NFL quarterback to a low number like that, you're doing your job. And, you know, and you talked about the secondary and, you know, Deontay Johnson, they held him to, you know, six catches, 57 yards. I mean, he's that game-breaker kind of guy for them. Mm-hmm. Chase Claypool, who Bill Belichick was raving about last week, four catches for 26 yards. Mm-hmm. And neither one of them had any kind of yak after they caught the ball. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you can say what you want about the quarterback, but your secondary for the second week in a row did a really good job. And you and I were talking offline, you know, last week, a lot of people kind of pooed the defensive effort they you know, had against the Miami Dolphins. They held them to 13 points offensively, one down. And, you know, you look at what Miami did to the Baltimore Ravens on Sunday. Mm-hmm. Maybe that, you know, we're selling that Patriots defense a little bit short.
I agree with that. I really think that a lot of what the Patriots do complementary-wise really complements the three levels of the defense, the three phases that you see, whether it be the front seven or the front defensive front, I should say, the linebackers, and then the secondary. And even on the touchdown that was allowed to Freiermuth, and I wrote about this last week for Sports Illustrated, it was without Kyle Duggar in the lineup. And as much as I love Adrian Phillips, maybe arguably his biggest fan on the team, or one of his biggest fans on the team, is myself, having covered him when I covered the Chargers. Phillips was a little out of his element there, and he made up for it with a couple of nice plays afterwards, but they missed Duggar's physicality there. There's no question about it. So hopefully we'll see what the situation is with Kyle's knee and, you know, injury wise, what happens when the Patriots retake the field again on Wednesday. But overall, I think a solid effort on all three phases, and I think the grades are definitely in on the Patriots' defense. And again, folks, they are much better than that lot that was in Dean Wormer's office at the end of National Lampoon's Animal House. On the offensive side of the ball, maybe the Patriots getting a little bit too much credit there, too, because the defense of the Pittsburgh Steelers was without T.J. Watt, and that is what the prognosticators are doomed of hanging their hats on. Is that a fair comparison? Well, again, the resident voice of reason will set us straight in just a moment when this episode of the Locked On Patriots podcast continues. But first, I wanted to talk to you guys a little bit first about Turo, the world's largest car sharing marketplace. With Turo, you can book any car you want, wherever you want it, from a community of local hosts. Browse a huge selection of vehicles for just about any occasion or budget across the United States, Canada, or the UK. Book a spacious SUV or a minivan for a family road trip. You can get a classic or luxury car for a special event, birthday, or holiday, or you can just find affordable economy cars if you're on a budget and you need to get from point A to point B. Many Turo hosts can even deliver the car right to you. Every trip is backed by liability insurance, and terms and conditions and exclusions do apply. But do yourself a favor, find your drive today at Turo.com. Patriots fans, the resident voice of reason, PatsFans.com's own Steve Balistrieri joins me here on the pod today. My Patriots Paisan, giving you the dish, the scoop, and the honest opinion that you need when it comes to the Patriots' grades for Sunday's performance and their 17-14 victory over the Pittsburgh Steelers. Steve, we talked about the defense, but the offense seemed to look a little bit better. They did end up looking more comfortable, and I think they did handle the defensive onslaught of the Pittsburgh Steelers better than what they did against the Miami Dolphins just 1 week ago. People that want to take away from what the Patriots did on the field on Sunday will point to the fact that T.J. Watt was not present. And I do think there is some degree of truth to that. Obviously, the Pittsburgh defense is much more formidable with the single season, tied for single season sack leader in that lineup. Arguably their best, unarguably their best defender, arguably the best pass rusher in the league. That's going to weaken your defense. But at the same time, I thought this offensive line particularly played stout football. They stood up. They did be able, they provided great run protection. They provided great pass protection. And because of that, the New England Patriots offense was able to move. Skill positions, thought they did pretty well. Tight endage, Claire, cover your ears. Not so good. But at the same time, Steve, I think a lot to build on, a lot to feel positive about, but you take a reasonable approach, my friend. How did the offense make the grade this week for the New England Patriots?
Well, there was still some issues. You know, they had some communication issues early in the game. Devontae Parker, you know, was confused a little bit. It ended up costing him a delay of game penalty. But, you know, I looked for this week. I was looking to see. They were facing, I think, which is a better defense than they faced last week in Miami. And I was looking to see some improvement there. And I think, regardless of T.J. Watt not being there, I mean, granted, we all know he's one of the best pass rushers in football, if not the best. But at the same time, you're selling the rest of that defense short. They have Minkah Fitzpatrick, you know, Cameron Hayward, and a bunch of other really good football players on that defense. You look last week at what they did against Joe Burrow and the Cincinnati Bengals. They created five turnovers, seven sacks. I mean, that's a good, solid group across the line, you know, and that's been their strength. And for the Patriots to come out And, you know, the biggest thing I took away from this was the play of the offensive line. And, you know, it was like almost night and day. Granted, they had some penalty issues, but it was almost night and day what I saw them doing. And I think what we saw at the end of the game kind of rams that home. You know, they get the ball back with a little over 6.5 minutes to go. You know, they're up by three. You know they want to run the clock down and run the football. The Steelers knew they wanted to run the football, and all the fans in attendance knew they wanted to run the football, and they ran it right down Pittsburgh's throat. And, you know, that to me was a huge, you know, level of a confidence booster, I think, because, you know, when you're an offensive lineman, I think you'd like nothing more than to, you know, not worry about whatever. You just want to fire off the ball and get a hat on the guy in front of you and you know, assert your will. And I think they did that. And one of the most amazing stats in the fourth quarter was time of possession. Pittsburgh held the ball in the fourth quarter for 2 minutes and 41 seconds for the entire fourth quarter, which to me is, I mean, that the best way to keep the opponent from scoring on your defense is to hold on to the football. And they did that for 12 minutes and 19 seconds. I think that was a great confidence boost for these guys. I thought they played really well. And they started mixing in some of that wide zone stuff we've been hearing about all summer. And it was successful. So I think they're getting some of their issues, you know, ironed out. I thought Nelson Aguilar, you know, for skilled guys, had a tremendous game. I thought it was his best game in a Patriot uniform. And once again, Ramondre Stevenson, you know, and who the Steelers announcers cannot pronounce Ramondre, which was funny because I was listening. They kept stumbling on that, and they were laughing, apologizing. And they were like, we're not meaning any disrespect. I just can't say this guy's name. But, you know, it was funny. I mean, but him and Damian Harris, I thought, were tremendous in this game. And, you know, if you take away the Mac Jones kneel downs at the end of the game, they had 28 carries for 133 yards, which is 4.75 yards per carry, which is really impressive, especially really against a team like Pittsburgh. So I think there's a lot of positives. They still have a long way to go. But that, I think this was a big step forward for the entire offense.
Yeah, I think it was a big step forward for the entire offense. It starts up front. It definitely starts with the line, Steve, because last week all we kept hearing was breakdowns in the line, breakdowns in protection, and not getting into position. Trent Brown, I thought, had a particularly poor game by his standards against the Dolphins. It really, I think, made Mac very vulnerable, maybe a little bit gun-shy in terms of being willing to stand in the pocket and maybe make a completion, running for his life at periods. Not necessarily think Mac was under duress all that much in week one, but I think the types of looks that he was getting were very different from what he's used to and what he expects. I thought that really was shored up this week. I thought Trent was excellent, especially in that closing drive to drain 6 minutes and 44 seconds off of the remainder of the clock and really allow the New England Patriots to get behind some of those runs. And like you said, both Damian Harris and Ramondre, as my good friend, our good friend Murph will say, I thought he was very good in that regard, in that situation as well. So good stuff for the New England Patriots. I think in this point, what we need to see from them a little bit more in terms of maybe getting after a situation where Mac Jones gets his opportunity to make the throws that he needs to make, because I thought that was one area where Mac might have been a little bit gun-shy in this situation. And also some of the decision-making that Mac made, which caused me to maybe grade him a little lower than a lot of people had thought. I think Mac's decision-making at this point is something that does warrant a little bit of extra time in the film room, maybe a little extra time on the field in terms of him being able to get done what he needs to get done. But ultimately, I thought the Patriots graded out pretty well on offense. And with the exception of Mac Jones, and maybe with the exception of the tight ends, I think this team really did a great job and deserves some glowing grades for the way that they performed. Very much impressed by the O-line, very much impressed by the running backs and pretty impressed by the skill positions as well, because I thought that the job that Nelson Aguilar and Jakobi Meyers did on Sunday really carried this team to pretty good heights.
Yeah, absolutely. I was very impressed with both of those guys. And, you know, Mac, I thought, as I wrote in my report card, I thought Mac was good. He wasn't great, but I didn't get so much of the criticism of him after the game that he had a very poor game. I don't think it was poor. I think it was middle of the road.
I agree.
Yeah, and, you know, it's, again, this is an offense that's trying to find its way. I liked that they went back, that they went back to the power schemes. That seemed to be working, and they were getting a good push all the way around. So that was good. I mean, you know, they still have a long, long way to go. But like we said, it's a first step. And, you know, the play calling to me wasn't bad. I think, you know, he's starting to, talking about Matt Patricia, he's starting to find his feet a little bit in the way that, you know, his in-game play calls and adjustments are coming along. And it's only week two. So I think that's going to get better.
I agree. I think it is going to get better as well. And look, for all of the difficulties and for all of the push that we want to put forth in having this being a disastrous decision to have Matt Patricia be the play caller, I thought he called a pretty solid game on Sunday. So a lot of that's going to be determined by what we see on the field, folks, when it comes to Sunday's matchup, this Sunday's matchup against the Baltimore Ravens. Still a little early to talk nuts and bolts with Baltimore yet, but my good friend, the Patriots Paisan himself, is going to give his thoughts on what didn't quite make the grade this week and what he'd like to see improved upon a little bit as the Patriots get set to take the field for week three. We conclude this episode of the Locked On Patriots podcast in just a moment. But first, wanted to definitely talk to you a little bit more about our good friends over at Prize Picks. Maximize your prognostication prowess with the best in the business when it comes to fantasy. Let me tell you how they work. You pick 2 to 5 players, and if they will go score more or less than their Prize Picks projection, you can win up to 10 times your money on an entry. You're not competing against other people. It's just you versus the projections available. Prize Picks offers projections on any sport that you watch. This includes the NFL, the NBA, Major League Baseball, NHL, PGA, college football, men's and women's college basketball, boxing, disc golf. You name it, Steve, they draw a bead on it. And the entries can be made in 60 seconds or less. That's right, folks. It's simply that easy. The withdrawals are safe, they're fast, and it's currently operational in over 30 states and Canada. So download the Prize Picks app or go to prizepicks.com to sign up and play daily fantasy sports. First-time users can receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100 with the promo code Locked On. And if you deposit $100, Prize Picks will give you $100. If you deposit $50, they'll give you $50. So don't forget to enter your promo code LOCKEDON at sign up for an instant deposit match up to $100. That's promo code LOCKEDON, Locked On, at prizepicks.com. Patriots fans, the resident voice of reason has once again returned here to Locked On Patriots, and we are thrilled to have Mr. Steve Balestrieri of PatsFans.com here today providing the grades for the New England Patriots. But, Steve, we have talked about certain situations where maybe the Patriots did not quite make the grade in this game, and that's to be really, I think, the case with every game. No one plays a flawless game, and there's always room for improvement. There's always areas for improvement. So, in your sharp eye, in your estimated wisdom, when you take a look at what this team did well, what they didn't do so well on Sunday, what are you looking to see improved in those areas that didn't quite make the grade in week two?
Well, I think it starts with the tight ends. And as you mentioned, you know, that's Claire's ballywick there. But, you know, when you only target your tight ends 4 times in a game, I don't think that's near enough for the 2 guys that they have. And the fact that they had 0 production, as you said, 0.0, 0 catches, 0 yards, that's unacceptable. They have to find ways to get these guys the ball, especially when you want to work that middle of the field and you have to keep those linebackers honest. You can't let them keep sneaking up. know, into the throwing lanes for those crosses. You have to be able to attack the seams. And those two, you know, tight ends, that's what they're made for. And I think they really need to get those guys involved. I think it also Mac Jones needs to improve next week. I think he'd be the first to admit that. He made some poor decisions at times. Excuse me. And, you know, he I think he can do a better job of taking shots down the field. I think they're going to be there. You know, we've seen it with Aguilar. I think that, you know, a guy like Kendrick Bourne can also do that. And it's time to, you know, start stretching the field a little bit more. I think they they're capable of doing it. So that's one of the other things. And, you know, special teams, they had some really shining moments. They had a couple of not so good ones too. So again, let's look at that and see. I'm sure the Patriots are, you know, when they went through their film study yesterday, you know, they talked about all those same things, but those are the three that stick out the most.
Yeah, it's surprising when you look at a New England Patriots team and you say what needs to be improved, and you find yourself saying the words special teams a little more often than you ever thought that you would. Murph mentioned that yesterday here on the pod as well, and I am in complete agreement on that. I was impressed by Brendan Schooler and him being able to find his way to Shake Free, really having a lot of great field awareness to be able to pounce on that muff from Gunnar Rashelski. But at the same time, Cameron Atchard was asked today about why didn't Jake Bailey just drop back and throw to him, because he's wide open. And Cameron actually admitted, he says, you know, Jake can throw. He can air the ball out. He can throw it. So it really kind of leaves you with maybe a little bit of a questionable taste in your mouth. But I agree. I think that's something they're going to work on this week in terms of getting guys in position where they need to be and make sure that everyone, not just the gunners, but also the specialists, are aware of where everyone is on a special teams coverage, especially on the opposite side of the ball, because anything and everything can happen in that area. Complete agreement with Mac. I definitely understand. I mentioned a little bit earlier about his decision making. Obviously, the interception of Fitzpatrick, definitely a questionable one. The near interception, which essentially was mercifully dropped from the Patriots football gods, that could have been a disastrous one as well. So Mac needs to choose his spots a little bit better, and that's something that I think he will get better on. And of course, you know, you just want to see continued improvement from the lines up front and, you know, have them go and move in the right direction, but definitely impressed by what we saw from them for the first 2 weeks.
Yeah, the funny thing about Schooler's play was, I'm watching it and I'm yelling at Jake Bailey through the television. He's wide open. You know, there's nobody covering him. Yep. And it was funny because, and then as soon as he punted it, I'm like, oh, they missed a golden opportunity to continue the drive. And then, you know, the punt bounced off Gunner's face mask and lo and behold, they recover it inside the red zone. But, you know, it was just one of those funny things that it worked out for him. But, you know, it's I think it's something Bailey has to be aware of.
Right.
Because if in the future somebody makes a mistake and leaves that open, that was easy 15, 20-yard reception.
Absolutely, yeah, with nobody around. And, you know, dare we say it might be a little bit ludicrous. You know, anybody that gets that understands where I'm coming from. I blame Dark Helmet for the whole thing, Steve. I just do. He made that man a gunner, and that was it. You know, that was so. That's how I leave it, and we'll leave it at that.
we're always quoting movies on this show, and in my post game write up, I quoted Princess Bride because I was like, did I see Bill Belichick talking to the offense while the defense was on the field? Inconceivable. So
I love it, folks. And what better way to wrap up today's show than with a Princess Bride quote? You don't get too many of those on here, but Steve definitely put that in. Great movie. Absolutely love that. You can't go wrong with some of the 80s comedies. They were tremendous. Folks, I always, always love it when my good friend, my Patriots Paisan, joins me here on the pod to provide his grades, to provide his wisdom and counsel the way only he can. Steve, it's been too long since you've graced these airwaves, but we will make this a weekly thing throughout the season to make sure that you're up to date on all of the accurate grades, agenda-free grades that you need when it comes to the Patriots' performances on Sunday. Before I let you go, my friend, please let everyone know where they can find you and what you have coming up, not just from the great pen, but also the great voice of Steve Balestrieri.
Yes, and I appreciate the offer as always, because I could sit and talk to you about football on the phone all day long. So, you know, that's what friends are for. And, absolutely. You know, I miss that. I miss sitting with you up there at Gillette. But, you know, this week I'm already starting to dive into the Ravens. I think, you know, they've had some issues with their secondary. I think that was obvious on Sunday. They've had injuries there. And they had a lot of busts, as we saw.
Yeah.
So I'm looking at the Ravens. I'm looking at some of the matchups and seeing, you know, a lot of people have written the Patriots game, but I think this is winnable. They're finally coming home. This is going to be their home opener. So I think they have a really good shot to pull this one out. We'll have to see.
I think so, too. I think that this could be a game that might be, I don't want to say make or break, because this is a little too early in the season to say make or break, but I think this could be one of the turning points for the New England Patriots in terms of whether or not this could be a team that fights for a playoff spot, or whether or not you're looking at a team that's probably on the lower end of the spectrum this year. I think there's a lot that they can prove, and this Baltimore team is going to be angry. They're going to be frustrated. They're going to come in wanting to right the wrongs that they saw on the field last week as well. So it's a good test for the New England Patriots, and Pats Ravens is always a hotly contested contest. And folks, we will continue to bring you all of that this week here on Locked On Patriots, as we now start to turn our attention to the Ravens, but not quite. There's still a little Pittsburgh wrap up. And for that, tomorrow here on Locked On Patriots, we will be joined by the Countess of Klaz. We make it a one Patriots place trio to start the week here on Locked On Patriots. Miss Claire Klazy Claire Cooper will bring her tight endage knowledge and so much more to the pod, as she always does each and every week. Folks, thank you so much for making Locked On Patriots one of your first listens every day, and also a daily part of your New England Patriots coverage. Hopefully you make us your first listen every day. And if you do, now make your second listen, the Peacock and Williamson NFL show. Brian Peacock and former NFL scout Matt Williamson give you the expert NFL analysis in less than 30 minutes. It's free and available wherever you get your podcasts. On behalf of my good friend, my Patriots paizan, Steve Balestrieri, I'm Mike DeBate. Stay safe. Stay well. Be the change you wish to see in the world. Have a great day, everyone.
And go Patriots.